have any apologies except for apologies, it's Mr. Krambok and Lolani. I don't know if there's anyone from the Eastern Cape who's a special delegate. None. Okay, we'll read then. There was a special request by Sanga to indicate their interest in joining our meeting. I don't know if they are here. Sanga, okay. Of course, we have the the department under the leadership of Mr. Patel. I take it that, where is he? I don't know if, okay. He would lead us in giving responses to the negotiating mandates. Of course, accompanied by Mr. Dean, Advocate Masombuka, Mpatlele, Mr. Shalang, Mr. Ndanduleni, and of course our usual suspect, quite interesting that the delegation is it's fully male dominated. I hope that question is not going to come, but if it does, the department won't be able to respond. What do you know in negotiating mandates on the land, National Land Transport Bill? I first want to ascertain as to whether if all of us have got the packages, or if there's anybody I did not introduce. Of course, welcome once more, special delegates from KZN. If there are other members or special delegates or interest group or institutions that have joined us today, which I have not been informed about, may you please introduce yourself before we start the meeting officially, so that we know who's exactly here. Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Sipho Mbele. I'm from Gauteng Province, the Department of Public Transport, Roads and Works. I'm with my with our legal advisor, Aaron DeVos. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Neil Newman. I work for Nihau Parliamentary Office and I've been part of the Labour delegation in the NEDLAC discussions on this bill.
Thank you, Chairman. David Mountain from SATSA, the Southern Africa Tourism Services Association. I was involved in the steering committee meetings for changes which have reflected in Section 80 of the bill, and just an interested observer. Thank you, Chair.
Londile from SABC Parliament.
Okay, my daughter Titus from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor.
Any more strangers? Okay, no, that's fine. You are absolutely welcome to our meeting. As we all know, of course, that procedurally today we would only be dealing with the negotiating mandates. The last time we received a briefing from the department, we went to provinces, briefed provinces, based on the fact that there is a Section 76 bill, and provinces have then submitted their negotiating mandates based on their own peculiar situations and challenges that they are confronted with. So I would immediately the Eastern Cape to then take us through their negotiating mandate. But by the way, there's no special delegate from Eastern Cape. And of course, a special welcome to Gauteng special delegate as well. We always appreciate if we get members directly from their legislatures to respond to respond to some of the issues that may need further clarity and so forth.
No, we're not from the legislature, from the department, Chair.
Not from the department?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not yet in
that. You already have the Umthwalo here from the legislature. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Eastern Cape, I will therefore read the negotiating mandate on behalf of the Eastern Cape in the absence of their special delegate. Having considered the bill, the province negotiate as follows. That the committee supports the bill, however the following challenges must be addressed before the bill is adopted. Bullet 1, various taxi associations were of the view that the bill is a tool to implement the bus rapid transit, and they do not welcome the BRT as it will force them out of business. I take it that comes out of their public hearings. Different sizes and categories of cars that should be used to transport should be considered as the approach adopted in the taxi recapitalization process of one size of a car is not proper for sparsely populated areas where transport demand is low. A further concern on the taxi recapitalization process is that the cars that are chosen for this project are too expensive for other people, and especially those operating in areas where the demand for transport is low, and these lead them into serious debts. It is proposed that various types of cars be considered. The bill should state that when issuing the operating licenses, the authority concerned shall prescribe the type of a vehicle that may be used for each service, so that vans or LDVs would not be able to get operating licenses unless they are specially adapted to carry passengers, and further that they may only operate in areas declared by the MEC. The bill should allow for the issue of temporary operating licenses as the application process takes long. The bill should allow for the hiring out of operating licenses. The 180 days allowed for dormant operators' licenses should be extended. There's a 3.2. The committee further resolved that Honorable Gogo be mandated to represent the province in a meeting to consider the negotiating mandate. That is the mandate, the negotiating mandate from the Eastern Cape. First that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got an interesting one here. Chairperson, the committee considered the bill inputs and information received. The portfolio committee noted the inputs by the general public and further considered the bill as follows. Buses must stop picking people where they are not allowed to do so. Bus inspectors must even go to the terminus as to avoid overloading of buses. Point 3, government must assist piloting people to get operating license for them to become legitimate operators. I don't understand that one.
I see.
Yeah. There's a repeat of that one on page 4, so I'm going to 5. Special trips must be granted to trip authority for them not to be penalized by traffic officers. Municipalities must assist the community for approval of operating licenses. And lastly, the government must construct and maintain the road for the smooth running of taxi operators. The resolution, the committee resolved that authority be conferred to the Free State delegation to vote for the adoption of the bill with the aforementioned inputs and considerations.
I phrased that Gauteng. Gauteng, Gauteng. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, Gauteng, if you look at item 4, there's a whole range of repetition what is contained in the bill, that the bill seeks to do this and the A, B, the B. So I'm not going to actually go through that because that's already in the bill. But however, on page 3, it's only when the last, I think, on subsection 3, that's where they raise only two bulletins, where they say general submission. Clarity is required as to why a period of 5 years has been determined for the renewal of an operator's accreditations, while a period of 7 years has been set for other services. Why there should be no time limits for tourist services accreditation, however, there should be a regular routine inspections to monitor compliance with the services standards. Those are the two issues that they picked it up, but other than that, Gauteng says the negotiating position adopted by the committee, the Public Transport Roads and Works Portfolio Committee supports the principle and detail of the National Land Transport Bill, B51B. Looks like I don't have a problem here. They support right through. So, okay.
Okay, that was Gauteng. From Gauteng.
On page 2, there's a number of submissions on the clauses.
They only talk of it. It's six to do this, six to do that, six to do this.
There are no substantive amendments they are proposing to those clauses.
They only say six to do this and six to do that. But they don't suggest that what do they actually then bring into our fold. What they want to do with that. I think the matter for me probably when I meet them to say, what do you want to do? Why do you repeat that? Instead of telling us what you suggest. Then I can sell what you suggest, not what is contained in the bill.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Honorable Water?
It's not my business, so it's all right.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, the following amendments were proposed by the committee after the deliberations on the issues that were raised by the public. Is that number one, clause 6, subsection 6, cross-referencing must refer to subsection 5. Number 2, clause 8.1, amend by the following, that the minister may, in consultation with the MEC. Clause number 3, 11, subsection 2, be amended as follows, that the minister may, in consultation with the MEC, assign any function contemplated in subsection 1B. Clause 13, insert a sub-clause providing for a cooling period for officials and political office bearers when they leave office not to participate in the public transport industry in line with the national norms. Clause 13D, insert the following. Officials directly involved in the management and execution of public transport related to law enforcement and all public law enforcement agencies. And Yakubera. Number 5, clause 23.2, amend by providing for at least 4 or more officials of the provincial department as determined by the MEC. Number 6, clause 49.2b, amend as follows, or operating license or not more than a 20% variance, in which case then as indicated on the bill. Number 7, clause 53.1, the exclusion of courtesy vehicles introduces an inconsistency in the bill. Airport shuttle services require operators' licenses, yet hotel shuttle services are excluded. We propose that both require operators' licenses. Number 8, clause 811. It is proposed that the tourist operators that operate exclusively within a province apply to the provincial regulator entity, and those that operate within and across provincial boundaries must apply to the National Public Transport Regulator. The reason being that provincial regulator entities deal with intra-provincial operators' licenses, while the National Public Transport Regulator deals with inter-provincial operators' licenses for taxis, buses, and mini-stroke-midi-buses. Number 9, clause 84.4. It is proposed that this clause be deleted. And the reason being that the equipment required on vehicles used in the tourist industry is a matter between the hirer and the provider of transport and functions effectively at the moment. The regulator need not be involved in determining the equipment needed, excluding the operator's license requirement. Number 10, it has been noted that the memorandum on the objects of the bill does not refer accurately to the bill and needs to be amended and renumbered. For example, clauses 13 and 14 on the memorandum, that is on page 49. Number 11, it is proposed that the Zulu version of the bill must be circulated for effective consultation with the members of the public and the land transport industry. This version is primarily because of the majority of the people in KwaZulu-Natal. The committee agreed to mandate the KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the bill, provided that the above amendments are considered and consolidated into the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, KZN. Whilst I was listening to KZN, I was also looking at some of the issues from Gauteng. And I don't know why did the Honorable Wati withdraw from advancing whatever argument he wanted to advance. Because I think there are some substantive issues that Gauteng is raising. Which I think, without going back to Gauteng, I hope that the department has taken note of the issues raised by Gauteng, so that when you give responses, you are then able to capture them as well. Now, you may not respond now. Let's take all provinces first, and then you would then respond from there, Mr. Patel. Okay.
I think you must not compare Gauteng with KwaZulu-Natal, because KwaZulu-Natal had deliberated on the issues that were raised by the public, and they did come up with the proposals. While Gauteng are just inputs by the public, of which the committee didn't deliberate on those issues. Thanks, Chair.
Irrespective. Where is that counting again? No, not which province or what, but there are specific clauses that Gauteng makes reference to, which I think needs particular responses from the department. It might be that the permanent delegate might not have had enough time to go through them and to confirm with the committee chair or whoever whether if they are deliberated on those issues. So,
mine is not to interpret what the committee wanted to say.
Yeah.
It's to take instructions from the committee.
Okay.
But I cannot put words into the version that they proposed this. They are listing things that are there. In my closing remarks that I will take the matter up with them. What do they want me to say to other provinces? And what do I sell to other provinces?
Okay.
Because those clauses they are referring to, they seek to do a number of issues.
Okay.
What did they say?
Yeah. I don't want to speak on behalf of Gauteng, but I'm tempted to protect the province by saying that those things must be considered for responses by the department, because they are critical and important.
That is the prerogative of the chairman.
Okay. okay. Oh, they are no longer smart, bro. Okay. Okay. Limpopo.
Chairperson, thank you. Limpopo is very, very straightforward. Except for concerns that were raised by the stakeholders concerning constraints, time constraints to deal with the bill. Limpopo has undergone the process that they are mentioning above, and the Portfolio Committee on Roads and Transport confers a negotiating mandate on our NCOP delegates to negotiate while we are awaiting public inputs as per their request. Here, the public, what I was informed is to say that the taxi industry was very adamant that they need more time to deal with the bill, and I'm still awaiting the province to inform me what their decision is. So that's that, Comrade Chairperson.
How could we then accommodate the later inputs if in fact the province is still awaiting inputs? How do you intend accommodating that for them?
Can we flag that for later? No? Okay.
Chair, unlike some of my colleagues, I will not skim over my province's input. Whilst no written comments or submissions were received from the stakeholders that were contacted, and there's a whole list of them, the public commented the following, that the bill must not provide for a maximum validity period of operating licenses and that the operating license must remain indefinite. That's a funny one, but there you are. Government officials working on transport tenders must declare their interests, and that the responsible executive authority must monitor the involvement to ensure transparency and impartiality in the tendering process. You see, we have a history of subversive involvement somewhere along the line, so I think they want that to be covered. Government must not impound vehicles if a driver is found guilty of contravening the bill. The bill must provide for automatic transfer of operating licenses to the spouse or immediate family member in cases where the holder of the operating license dies. Furthermore, that administrative fees relating to registration of the operating license must not be charged to the spouse or the immediate family member. Yeah, that's the inheritance law. The last bullet, scalping allowance of 50,000 rand must not be fixed, and inflation must also be taken into account when paying out the scalping allowance to owners. The recommendation is that the delegation representing the province of Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces be conferred with the authority to vote in favour of the bill.
What is the offer?
Thank you very much. That was Mpumalanga. Yeah, okay. North Cup, the committee concerns. Of course, the committee reports that they have had some public hearings on the bill, and there are some views from the public, but these are committee concerns. Now, the long title of the bill should ideally indicate that this bill repeals, amongst others, the Land Transport Transition Act. Clause 24.2, a period should be determined within which the MEC must take the action as mentioned, because the current wording, as soon as possible after, can cause lengthy delays. Furthermore, relevant operating licensing board needs to be defined. Clause 77, the reference to clause 67 in this clause seem to be incorrect, since clause 67 deals with charter services. Capacity of municipalities, planning authorities to comply with the responsibilities and obligations bestowed in terms of the bill. Matter of concern that memorandum on the bill, particularly the clause-by-clause analysis, had not been updated in line with the later draft of the bill, resulting in the numbering being incorrect, and also that information contained in the memo does not tally with that in the bill. This is particularly dangerous in the sense that several users prefer to read only the memo, and such individuals may have been misinformed on the contents of the bill. Of course, those are just reportings that public hearings were held and they were successful and so forth. And lastly, the legislature mandate the permanent delegate to participate in the deliberations at the negotiating stage and to support the bill, taking note of concerns raised by the committee as well as those of the public. That is the Northern Cape. Northwest.
Ms. Jefferson, right from page 4, adopted light delivery vehicles to read the same in the Road Traffic Act. The bill is silent on subsidization of the mini-midi bus taxi type service. Association, the NLTTA 22 of 2000 catered for formation of associations and legal status thereof, but this bill is silent on this state of affairs. Association standard set of rules, e.g. constitution, should be catered for. Transport Registrar. NLTTA made provision for provincial transport registrar and development of registrar administration system referred as RAS. This bill is silent on this scenario. Law Enforcement, Chapter 7. The bill is silent about the interest of law enforcement in the taxi business. Recommendation, law enforcement officials and their immediate families should not own taxis. Lift clubs. Lit clubs are a recipe for conflict as and commute workers for reward under the pretext of lift clubs. There should be a clear distinction between private use and those operating for reward. Exemptions, Section 53, for equal benefit from the South African economy, each entity must focus on its core business, e.g. mining, hospitals, services that are not related to the core business like transport should be outsourced to allow legitimate public transport operators to continue with their core business. The bill should have provision for public transport demands based on promotion of the following: relieve traffic congestion, reduction of pollution. Operating licenses. Operating licenses should be issued to all mini-midi bus taxi type in accordance with the current recapitalization. Transport regulatory entities recommendations. This function should be limited to provincial transport regulator entity and not municipalities because it lacks capacity and conflict of interest. Operating licensing boards and provincial transport registrars should be maintained for impartiality purposes. Electronic fare collection. Electronic fare collection is the teal of public transport operator and therefore should be owned and controlled by service providers and or operators. Intermodal electronic management system that is friendly to bank cards should be used. Rationalization of mini-midi buses. Recommendation: rationalization should be centralized at the provincial level for continuity purposes for taxi transformation. Municipalities should not be given the powers to issue operating licenses. Validity of operators' licenses should be indefinite and not valid for 7 years. Cross-border agencies should be incorporated into national regulatory entity for uniform control purposes. Scholar Transport Chapter 8, those regulations should be finalized before the Act comes into action. Otherwise, the committee support the bill. Thank you.
That was Northwest. Thanks. Now we were faced with a thesis here, or a mini thesis, that is being prepared and submitted to the committee by the North, by the Western Cape. So can the Western Cape present their mini thesis?
Yeah, Chair, we'll present them in the thesis, but there's only one page of amendments that the Western Cape has proposed, so I don't know where you've seen the thesis, but be that as it may, I would just like to ask my other colleagues, comrades of other provinces to follow the example of the Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal in putting the amendments as it is. I think the two provinces are really showing the example of how amendments should be, because we are with negotiating mandates.
Can you submit your negotiating mandate?
So, Chair, and that also goes for the Chair in Northern Cape and all other provinces as well, Chair. Chairperson, on page 20, or the Standing Committee on Finance and Economic Development, having considered the subject of the National Land Transport Bill, begs to report that it confers on the Western Cape's delegation in the NCOP the authority to support the bill with the following amendments and recommendations. clause 20 on page 18 in line 11 after department to insert or other appropriate persons selected by the minister. Clause 23 on page 19 in line 14 after department to insert or other appropriate persons selected by the MEC. And then, Chair, the other half, the other part, paragraph was just an observation or a comment of the committee. I've discussed it this morning with the chairperson of the committee. It's also on page 2. they just felt that a bit unease, but that was an internal arrangement between the provincial department of the Western Cape and somewhere that the national department, there was some sort of an arrangement that an official from the Gauteng legislature briefed the province, and that was not, I don't know why or how that should be, because it's two different provinces and each one has to give their own mandate in terms of that, but that's been raised, the provincial department or the MEC, the minister, provincial minister, because we brought it under the attention this morning, is going to raise it with the national minister and the DG about this thing, how it worked out on that. But I don't think that's just saying in passing. It's not that the committee should break their head about that or something. And then, Chair, also during the public hearing, Mr. Munton, who is sitting there, one of our honourable citizens in the Western Cape, that's always helping the transport department and that's looking after transport in the Western Cape and there's great concerns for transport, has also put down proposals, and the committee felt that the department should look at these proposals and if possible with this committee's concurrence, with this committee concurrence, that if there's anything of this proposals or recommendation that Mr. Munton has made and the department can come up with and give us also in writing feedback about this recommendation so that we can then take it back to the Western Cape, include it then into the final mandate of the province, and that's it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to support or second the proposal that the submission by Mr. Munton be considered by the department for input when we do the summary, because as Honourable Adams has said, Mr. Munton has been devoting virtually his life to helping with transport in not just in the Western Cape, but also he travels to Gauteng and all over the place. So I think we should allow that to be considered. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. But the first part. So what happened?
Yeah, Chair, I don't know, somewhere along the line, the provincial DG, or what do they call them, DDGs or DGs, but, or HOD, couldn't attend the meeting to do the briefing with the committee, not with the initial briefing, because the actual initial briefing was done by the national department when I went to brief the committee. But after that, the committee, the provincial committee, had deliberations on this bill. And then the provincial committee couldn't attend the briefing somewhere, or for some other reason, none of them could. And then the HOD asked his counterpart in Gauteng to come and assist and brief the committee. And the committee that morning was very up in arms about that. Person from Gauteng coming to brief the Western Cape. I mean, that was not on. But lucky they didn't accept much of the things that the Gauteng person has said, because otherwise we would have had the same thing as Gauteng, you know. So that's why we accepted our own thing. So, but Chair, that's the thing that has been we've
We've brought it under the attention of the provincial, the MEC, as well as the HOD, and it should never happen again. The committee has addressed it. We have addressed it with the MEC, and it's been taken up. It's been sorted out at other levels.
Do you want to come in there? Because I wanted to treat it as a side issue. As a side issue, because in any case, South Africa is a unitary country. It has got unitary character that it draws from its constitution. Does it therefore mean that somebody cannot, if somebody's resource from Limpopo cannot do what a national department is expected to do? But let's treat it as a side issue, and thank Gauteng for having availed somebody to go and represent national department.
On a point of order, you misinterpreted. The national department went to do the initial briefing, but then the provincial standing committee had a meeting after that to deliberate on the thing.
Okay.
And that was, but no, national did their work.
Let's leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah,
nothing to do with the
It's a matter for the province.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
But just because the reason why I brought it under the committee's attention because it's here in black and white.
Okay. Did you want to say something?
Chairperson, just another issue. Salgas also submitted submission. I wonder if that should also not be considered by the department, because there is some valid issues that is raised by this SALGA, in the SALGA submission.
Yeah, you see, members, I need your wisdom on some of the issues. If there are mandates or provinces have been briefed, and provinces, because from all these mandates, it's quite clear that all provinces held public hearings. And I looked, for instance, at SALGA's submission. Very important issues are raised. SALGA is a national structure. It is represented in all provinces. What would have stopped SALGA to have made their submissions at a provincial level, so that when provinces submit their negotiating mandate, it becomes the negotiating mandate of the legislature, having considered all stakeholders. I take it that SALGA would be a stakeholder. In this instance, it would be the same with Mr. Martin, to say, as an interested party who resides in the Western Cape, whom participated and made a submission to the Western Cape. Therefore, one would have expected the Western Cape legislature or committee to then make those as and present them as their negotiating mandates. Because I'm worried now of the constitutionality of the process. Whilst we're dealing with negotiating mandates from provinces, and at the same time at the committee level, we then also take into account stakeholders who submit their interests or whatsoever outside the mandates of legislatures. Hence, I say I need your wisdom on this particular matter, because I don't want the committee to be compromised later.
I don't quite know whether you're including the one from Mr. Munton, because that was presented as part of a provincial negotiating mandate. So that should be separate. But as far as SALGA is concerned, we have a problem, Chair. The Constitution makes provision for SALGA to participate in the proceedings of the National Council of Provinces, not of the NA. And they are a national body represented at provincial levels. Now that means when 76 legislation is handled, SALGA has the right to come and debate in the House, virtually as the 10th province, but without voting rights. Now, they get their input from their provincial structures. We might not agree, but somewhere along the line, a majority decision must be taken at the national level, as a national body. Now my question is, where then will the national input from SAUGA be presented if it can't be at this point considered by us as part of the negotiating mandates? And if we find that there's there's substance to it and it can be accommodated, I'm sure we can then agree to present that back to our provinces for their final decision. Because what we don't want is for SAUGA to come and debate in the House when we do debate this bill, to say, yes, here we are, the national constitution provides for us to debate, but we have no venue or vehicle to present our national input. So my proposal is we should allow them to allow the committee to consider the inputs after advice from the department.
The Honourable Luke Watson has said it like I would like to say it. I fully agree with him.
Yes, Jefferson, as much as I probably agree with Mr. Watson, but my problem still stands in that SAUGA has a local standing in the National Council of Provinces. I did query this in the programming meeting that SAUGA is being situated among the staffs. Why is he there? That it is the attendance, the staff attendance, among others, it's SAUGA. I said, now why is he there? And I think the answer quote is that they are not politicians. But if they are not politicians, when councillors are politicians, then who is a politician? Thank you.
Honourable.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, as you have said, SAUGA is part of the NSOP. In terms of their submission, they are supposed to be here so that we can negotiate and ask questions and respond to their proposals. And of which I also believe that during public hearings, they did participate in provinces, because in my understanding, even if it's a national structure, but their proposal should be informed by the provinces as well. So, but nevertheless, whether they are here or not, I think somebody must read those proposals so that the department can also respond on them, and then we will give that information to the provinces that whenever they consider their final mandates, they must also look at the submission by SAUGA. Thanks, Chair.
No, I think that really assists me, because I was tempted to conclude in that particular line. Because you see, whilst we recognize SAUGA as a participatory organ within the NCOP at a house level, the constitution also says that for a piece of legislation of a section 76 to be passed, it says five provinces. It doesn't mention SAUGA. You see, that's the balance also that we need to get. So I was going to suggest that the department, please, in your responses, consider the submission by SAUGA, and then it becomes our individual responsibility as permanent delegates to also mobilize, if not to conscientize, our provinces to consider the submissions of SAUGA when submitting the final mandates for consideration and so forth. But we're not dismissing the submission of SAUGA. Okay. And in the absence of SAUGA having agreed in that way, it takes us. Do we have the document? We don't have it. Okay. Okay, because I wanted to go straight to the recommendations only. Just to read the recommendations, we would assist members to get copies of their submission. course, there's an analysis that has been made by SARDA in terms of the public transport system, capacity of municipalities, rural municipalities, the challenges that are there, the question of migration as well, and on the basis of that analysis, recommends the following: that firstly, a sub clause 29.4 is needed, which encourages funding conditions to be framed in such a way that they allow flexibility so as to facilitate ease of implementation. The following sub clause is suggested: 29.4. Any conditions imposed should be framed in a manner in which permits flexibility and ease of implementation while requiring compliance with the principles of land transport policy as provided for in Section 4. Secondly, the maximum length of time specified for subsidized service contracts in Section 42 and commercial service contracts in Section 43 should be increased from 7 to 12 years. The maximum length of the contract should also ideally be linked to the number of kilometers driven rather than a time period. It is appropriate that contracts mirror the normal acceptable life of a vehicle. The contracts currently envisaged in terms of the new bus rapid transit project in Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Cape Town are for 12 years or a maximum number of kilometers. The following clauses are suggested to replace the current clauses: 42.5 and 43.2. 42.5, the validity period of a subsidized service contract must not exceed 12 years or set number of kilometers envisaged to be driven over an equivalent period. And 43.2, the validity period of a commercial service contract must not exceed 12 years or set number of kilometers envisaged to be driven over an equivalent period. Those are the specific sections that SALGA is proposing for amendment. But for purposes of members to understand where they come from, we would ensure that you have copies of their submission. Brings us then to the end of submissions, and I would therefore give the department an opportunity to respond to the submissions as provided. Honorable Wati.
To ask the question, while we were talking, a document was distributed which says changes agreed to by the portfolio committee that do not appear in the B version. I don't understand it, because the B version should actually accommodate all the amendments that were described in the A version. So what is this? What is this document? I don't understand it.
I don't know. That is why I did not even make mention of it. I just took it that maybe it's for information. We will deal with... It's a little confused at this document.
Somebody tell us why it was given
to us. Who gave it? Oh, it comes from the department. Oh, no. Then they will... Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Patel, it's yours.
Chairperson, the first part of that document in front of you, it's in a table format. Basically, Chairperson, a number of matters that are there are in fact consequential amendments in relation to the amendments that the portfolio committee had agreed to and was already in Bill B, 51B. So these are because of the time frames that were available in the portfolio committee, I think even the state law advisor did not have the time to actually make the full set of consequential changes. But I think I'll just ask our legal services over here to explain further on that matter. So.
Yes, thank you, Chair. There are basically two things. There are some cross-references that needed to be changed, because in the National Assembly, Chair, some clauses were left out, others were put in. So some cross-references have not been changed yet. And also, the consequential amendments relate to things like transport authorities. The other version of the bill had the concept of transport authorities in, which was taken out by the portfolio committee. That means that wherever the term transport authority occurs, participating municipality, transport area, all those terms should have been taken out. And that didn't happen. So these are, in the first part, these are the, let's call them consequential amendments or mistakes, and or mistakes.
I show such thumbs down. I can't understand. Where will this be? Where will this then be captured? Because here's the B. The B says as amended by the portfolio committee. Now what version will contain these? And when will that be debated? Because this was debated in the NA.
Okay. Honorable Oliphant.
Chairperson, when the bill was introduced in the National Council of Provinces, it was introduced as a B version. And the amendments that are proposed by provinces are based on the bill, are based on that bill B. If the provinces see that there are other amendments in relation to what is in front of us, provinces will take a decision to incorporate it or not. But there are already proposals. But my worry is that, one, I don't think that the committee was supposed to pass a legislation where the proposed amendment by the very same committee were not effected on the legislation. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah. I'm on the same line, sir.
Thank you.
Chairperson, myself also, but all the changes here are not consequential. There's some others also in here that change the bill, as it says. So it's not all just consequential changes that is hasn't put in the bill.
Yeah, Jefferson, maybe they should explain where it comes from. Why was it not entailed? Maybe it comes from somewhere. Can they explain why this kind of arrangement? Can they explain, maybe?
Department has made my life difficult to defend.
Chairperson, if there were serious problems with the bill that was passed by the National Assembly, let the provinces decide on the amendments. And if we pass the amendments, then it will be done. If the department wants to amend the bill further, then they must come up with the new amendments on the bill. But not now. Thank you.
In actual fact, they must be sent to provinces. So that provinces must then come up with those amendments or whatever changes that you would love to see coming in. Whether it be in the form of a correction or hence, I wanted to kill it at first by saying, this is but just information. You know. But if there's anything you need to further clarify, you are welcome.
Chairperson, if I may explain this matter over here. The process in the portfolio committee was such that it was quite intensive, and the process of the department was required to go back at least 2 to 3 times to the drawing boards in line with the requirements that the portfolio committee wanted on the one hand. On the other hand, because of the tight time frames, the final day on which this met, the B version was agreed to, there were a number of changes that were actually introduced that evening the committee finished their work at about 7 o'clock that evening, and then thereafter the matter was then left to the state law advisor to effect all the consequential changes. That means if you make a change in clause 1, but it may relate to clause 10, then there needs to be a consequential change to clause 10. For instance, so those are the consequential changes. So once you, as a committee, said that you want these changes in clause 1, and that is going to affect clause 10, then you need to make those consequential changes. So for example, in certain instances, there were terms like designated planning authorities that were used in the original bill that had to be removed. All those type of terminologies and those factors were actually not removed. The second matter that was not removed or changed, or in many instances, is that because the bill had changed substantially, the whole numbering system within the bill had changed relative to the original bill. And that was also then, it was left to the state law advisor to effect those changes. But I think what happened, that the state law advisor was just given that overnight, because that by the next morning, and the state law advisor is here, he can explain what exactly happened over there. But by the next morning, I think the state law advisor was required to submit the revised version, and in the process, due to those time constraints, I think the state law advisor was not even able to effect some of the numbering changes, for example. That's why you see, even in the memorandum of objects, it's the prior memorandum of objects. It's not the memorandum of objects based on the B version, the B51B version, for instance. So it's those type of changes. If you look at page 1 of the submission over there, it's really related to the numbering type of changes that's there.
No, I will come in after them.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm acquainted with the procedure in the NA. When they pass the bill, they go clause by clause. And then vote clause by clause with the amendments as such. Now, if we don't challenge the amendments as such, whether it's consequential or not, but the problem that we have, when they pass this bill, they are not aware of this problem. They might have suggested this, but it did not come back to them. Now, when they debated on the bill, passing these clause by clause, these versions were not included. And that is not the impression I'm getting. Now, has this one come as an addendum to us? Whereas now in the NA, they are not aware of this. They know that they have made those proposals, but they did not see them. And they did not see light in that deliberation.
Chair, really, I can't accept it. As Mr. Mzizi said, I was also in the NA for 5 years, and I know exactly how a bill is finally approved in the NA, clause by clause, no other way, like we do with 75. And the other thing is, we were already briefing our provinces on the 10th of September, which means I can't remember the exact day, but I think we got a briefing from the department on the 2nd or the 3rd of September. We are now on the 16th of October, and now we get presented with something like this. You know, the impression I get is, let's get this thing through the NA, we'll use those rules in the NCOP to slip in the other things at some point or other. These are not just consequential. There are terms like delete the entire paragraph, delete the entire chapter, add in the heading, the funding arrangements for land transport, delete, designated. I mean, these are not consequential. And I think we have misled the provinces by presenting to them a bill which was not the final bill as approved by the NA, or the NA approved the wrong bill. So procedurally, I think we have gone totally wrong.
Chairperson, you know, we were briefed by the department in the first instance before we went to provinces. And the question is, why the department didn't come up with this document at the first place when they were briefing us? Because we were not briefed by any member from the portfolio committee. Also, portfolio committee is also still the committee of parliament. So, if the department is insisting, can't we have a meeting with the members of portfolio committee to come and explain, to go through all this? Or, if you agree, we may delegate to chairperson to go and meet with the chairperson of the portfolio committee to check about these things. But I think the best route is to meet as the select committee and the portfolio committee to go through this document.
Chairperson, yeah, I also want to raise my concern. These changes are not all just small things. They are substantial changes. So we presented the wrong thing to our provinces, and it's very unfortunate, but I find it difficult to understand what's happened here.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, the argument or the excuse that's been put on the table here that the state law advisors of the department has worked till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning carries no water. Chair, I would second the proposal put by you that we should send these things back to the provinces, and the provinces then incorporate it or look at it, because, I mean, it's also undermining the provinces. We get the thing here dated the 15th of October with all these changes, where the provinces have gone the extra length of having public hearings and all that, whether it was probably on a wrong bill or what. But I think we can't be taken for a ride like that.
If we send this to the provinces, we're actually expecting them to go through the whole thing and change these clauses. I don't think that's fair to them, with all due respect.
Yeah, Chairperson, also to say we must send you to go and meet with the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, or we meet with the Select Committee, in terms of procedures, because we are linked to provinces. How are we going to go about it? This is totally out. Unless the broad department says we scratch everything, then we start from scratch. But there's no way out that there's a way out. Whether we meet with the portfolio committee, we have processes to embark on as NCOP with our provinces. It nullifies everything. This document nullifies what we have been doing up until now.
Exactly.
And it is for the department to say we nullify everything, we start from zero. Or we put this aside and we move with what we have. That's my understanding, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. The document that has been put before us, I agree that some of the changes are really substantial. In as far as the time constraints are concerned, at the time we were effecting the amendments, I was the person who was effecting the amendments together with Advocate Masombuka, and we were satisfied that all the amendments that were agreed, they were effected. The bill was then sent to the chairperson of the portfolio committee, who then read it and was happy with it before it was sent to the NA. The only thing that might have been left out or might still have been left with some errors is the cross-referencing, which has been noted by some of the provinces here, that a particular section cross-references to another one that needs to be corrected. Something that is very substantial, it will be something that the department has just come with it new today, or after the bill had been approved by the National Assembly. At the moment, what I can accept as perhaps a mistake or something that we couldn't do properly is the cross-referencing because of time constraints, which has already been identified here, which can be corrected without any effect to the substance of the bill. Thanks, Chair.
So, meaning,
manifesto. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Could I just add, is, Chair, these are cross references are a good example where they both says section 3 instead of section 5. Obviously, that's just a correction. But just to give you an example on page 2 of this document, the state law advisor was supposed to add a phrase to the definition of subsidized. That was agreed by the committee. Instead, by mistake, it was added to the definition of subsidized service contract. That just needs to be corrected. If the members could just look through it, I'll see that it's just that type of mistake that's been made. Headings that should have been corrected. The term transport authority should have been removed from every clause. It wasn't removed from all the clauses. So I would really, from the department side, beg, Chair, that we can just look at these. They are not... If the committee sees any of these as substantial amendments, obviously there must be a process. The B part of this document is substantial amendments suggested by the department. That's a different thing. But the A part is really just things like cross-references and mistakes, Chair.
Even if the B part is now, how does that get slipped in here? In a document that says amendments that were not included in the B version. Really and truly, I think we've been taken for the ride.
Yeah. I wanted to make a suggestion that would attempt to take us forward. In that one, fine, we agree. Because I do not hear anybody disputing the fact that the portfolio committee agreed to the changes as printed here. Now, if these changes are not in this particular version, what would it take the department to ensure that before even the provinces receive the responses coming out of the negotiating mandates, that they have the correct version? What did it take us not to do that, Honourable Van Rooyen?
Chairperson, before I get on to this, I think we are again being misled here. The cross references that are here. Is not in the bill, and that I accept. But the substantial changes is also not in the bill. I just checked two, and they are not in the bill. They still as it is. So the substantial changes hasn't even been made. So in the bill. So we've been misled here again. The substantial changes has also not been affected in the bill. If I just check two of them.
All my
years, 15 years in public as a politician, I've never ever seen amendments being done to a bill that's been passed already. Never.
Can you better excuse us and then we remain as a committee for 5 minutes so that we have a discussion on this matter? I guess it was necessary for us to have a little reflection as a committee on how are we going to proceed with this particular matter. And based on our deliberation as a committee, of course there are certain serious observations that the committee made, and it would be quite unfair if I do not represent the views of the committee. You see, Parliament has been embarrassed before. Parliament has been embarrassed
and not only once, but twice, by departments, leading to a point where the NCOP had to be taken to court, court rulings having been made against the NCOP, which really puts us in a very difficult situation, that even lawmakers cannot even do their work properly as lawmakers and so forth. And as a committee, it is for the committee to or for me to report that the committee takes strong exception on how we do our work as departments and so forth, because at the end of the day, the house gets embarrassed and the country also gets looked at in a very negative way, because some of these things not only are read or observed by South Africans but internationally as well, because they are recorded, and that South Africans can't even make pieces of legislation and so forth. Now, there is one decision that the committee strongly feels about. One, it means, therefore, that the provinces were briefed on the wrong piece of legislation. And having been briefed on the wrong piece of legislation, it would be unfair for us to proceed or even to allow our provinces to proceed with this kind of a piece of legislation, that the department must go back, incorporate whatever that you have into the right bill, which will now be the C version, for it to go back to the NA and come to the NCOP with a correct version, as a D version. And then from there on, we will go back to our provinces and do the right thing. Because what if we withdraw these insertions? Say, for instance, we want to proceed without these insertions. It would only mean that we are still continuing with the wrong version. Because what you are saying to us is that the portfolio committee has agreed on this and this, but this is not here. Now, if we proceed with this, it means that we'll be misleading our provinces, and eventually we will have to come back again and be at square point or square one. So the best thing is for these things to be incorporated into one, which will now be the C version, and the D version will therefore be presented to our provinces. I hope I've represented the committee correct. Then if then that is agreed, honorable members, it's unfortunate that we will have to adjourn the meeting at this particular point. But even before that, because of the provinces, I don't know if I'll be problematizing this thing or what, but I wanted to say, because provinces have made an effort in submitting negotiating mandates, and of course I want to believe that the department had already developed some responses to some of those things, if we can have them in writing so that we send them to provinces already, so that by the time we get the correct processes now put in place, it won't be something totally strange to provinces. It will just be having the ball to start running or rolling. Honorable Rati, and then...
Just the point that you made, that should include the two submissions that we agreed upon, that they also incorporate that in their submission for to us that we can take to the provinces. The one from Mr. Munton and the one from Salga.
Honorable Chairman.
No, thank you, Chairman. I think we are in agreement with your summary of this particular matter here. But I think what is also important for this particular committee is to inform the Office of the Leader of Government Business as to what really went wrong in this particular process, so that the Office of the Leader of Government Business can then take this matter also up with the relevant minister. Thank you, Jack. And the chairperson of the council. My apologies for that.
That's fine. Thank you very much. channel members and the department stakeholders and every interest group. Something for us.
Chairperson, since the department has to withdraw the legislation, the department through the minister has written to the presiding officers of parliament that they are withdrawing this piece of legislation. No, it's not that. We are going to write a report to the chairperson to say, based on these amendments that were tabled, of which we were informed that they were omitted in the bill that was passed by the National Assembly. Therefore, the department is going to withdraw the bill. That's it.
No, thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. I hope in our next meeting we'll have...